which is found in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Tzayin. Thank you so much. And it's really, there's so much, like so many stories in Tanakh. It's so rich. There's so much here to unpack, and I just want to share the story with you, and I think there's so much to be learned from it on many levels, and I just wanted to explore it with you together today. We're going to start with Bamidbar Perek Tzayin, Pasuk Aleph, which you have in your source sheet. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehat ben Levi, v'datan v'aviram b'nei Eliav, v'on ben Palat b'nei Reuven. So we're introduced to Korach and some other people as well already in Pasuk Aleph. Now, we're given the genealogy of Korach. He's the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kehat, the son of Levi. Now, interestingly, the Torah could have gone one more step, at least one more step, to say, who was the father of Levi?
Yaakov
Avinu. So, interestingly, the Torah stops at B'nai Levi. Rashi picks up on that, of course. Rashi here at Pasuk Aleph says, "Below he's skir ben Yaakov." Why is he not mentioned as also, right? Why doesn't it go as far as Yaakov Avinu? So Rashi says, "Shabikesh rachamim al atzmo," that Yaakov Avinu, before he died, back in Sefer Bereishit, sort of davens that shelo yiskar shmo al machlakotam, that he, with his Ruach HaKodesh, he knew that this type of rebellion was going to take place generations later, and he davened that his name shouldn't be a part of that. He shouldn't be associated with his, what would it be, great-great-great-grandson, and his rebellion against the leadership of the Jewish people. Shneamar, ubakalam al techad kvodi. So, and Hashem answered his tefillah, so therefore, Rashi says, that is why Yaakov is not mentioned as the father of Levi, as the ancestor of Korach, but it stops at B'nai Levi. Now, interestingly, you know, we think about Korach, but there's other people mentioned in this pasuk as well, and we're going to unpack that a little bit together also. We're told about Datan and Aviram. I like to, when my kids were younger, we used to come to the Tat Shabbat that Rabbi Engel does here. And, you know, he would got the kids into it. We were singing songs, and he would go around the room and ask the kids there to, like, name two things which sing the song of Shabbos. So, I don't know, dolls and flowers, Legos and toys, whatever it was. My kids, not here, but at home, would come home and sing Datan and Aviram, sing the songs of Shabbos. And my husband and I were always like, that's not really probably what they were singing, but okay. Because they were, you know, here we have them challenging the leadership together with Korach. And also, somebody else has mentioned as On Ben Pelet B'nai Reuven. So we're told that Datan and Aviram and this man by the name of On Ben Pelet, who we're also going to speak about in a little bit, are from the tribe of Reuven. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about all this in a little bit. Rashi, we're going to go over Datan v'Aviram, the next Rashi. Rashi gives us a little bit of an insight as to what was bothering Korach. What were his motives behind this rebellion that he is leading or gathering against Moshe? So Rashi says, Mara'a Korach lachlok im Moshe, nitkana al nesiyoto shel Elitzafan ben Uziel, Sheminehu Moshe Nasi al bnei Kehat al pi hazibor. So if you go, and we're going to go right before we're going to continue in the Rashi, but just take a quick look at this pasuk from Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Gimel, which tells us in Sefer Bamidbar, when the Levi'im are instructed in terms of what their jobs are in the context of the Mishkan, we're introduced to the sons of Levi, to their children, and they're known as like mishpachot. You know, each mishpacha had a job within the Mishkan. One mishpacha carried the heavy, the heavy pillars, let's say, that were used to construct the Mishkan. Another family carried the menorah and the kelim. Another family carried the curtains and things like that separated one part of the Mishkan. So each family had a job. We're told here of B'nai Kehat, one of the sons of Levi. L'mishpachotam, Kehat had four sons, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. So we know Amram to be the father of, who is Amram the father of?
Moshe
and Aaron and Miriam, of course, right? Yitzhar, who is Yitzhar? We now know Korach's father. Korach is Ben Yitzhar. right? And two others, Chevron and Uziel. So what happened to really sort of get Korach upset is that Moshe appointed Elitzaphan ben Uziel. Again, Uziel, a brother to Korach, a brother to Yitzhar, an uncle to Korach. His son is chosen as the Nasi of Shevet Levi. Each Shevet had a Nasi. And he feels, wait a second, what about me? Right, Yitzhar was the second son after Amram. Amram's children are very well spoken for. So this somebody from Yitzhar's family should have been appointed as Nasi, and he really feels like he was, you know, looked over, like he should have had that position. And Amar Korach, going back to the Rashi, the middle of the second line, Achi Abba Arba'a Hayu, right? There are four sons. Shnemar B'nei Kahat. Amram HaBachor Natlu Shnei Banav Gedula. Right? Amram's two sons, they've been appointed to greatness. Echad Malach, Echad Kohen Gadol. Mi Ra'ui Litolat HaShnia. Lo Ani, Shani Ben Yitar, Shehu Sheini LaAmram. Right? If we're going in order of, like, in birth order, okay, Amram's children have been spoken for, now we're on to Yitzhar's children. Instead, right, Uziel's son is given the position of Nasi, and Korach, like I said, is angered by it, and that, according to Rashi, is his motive to come and lead this rebellion against Moshe. And perhaps Aaron. It's very complicated, and we're going to continue to see that as well. Okay, so in addition, so again, we've been introduced to Korach, Datan Aviram, On Ben Pelet. Let's move on to Pasuk Bet, which you can find on the next page of your source sheet. Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Tzayin, Pasuk Bet. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe, v'anashim ibnei Yisrael, chamishim u'matayim, nisi'ei eda, kri'ei mo'ed, anshei shem. So in addition to the people we're introduced to in Pasuk Aleph, we're told in Pasuk Bet that 250 more people join forces with Korach and Datan Aviram B'nei Reuven. Who are these 250 people? Take a look at Pasuk Bet. How does the Torah describe them? Nisi'ei Eda, Kri'ei Mo'ed, Anshei Shem. They were leaders. They weren't just nobodies. It reminds me so much of the story of the Meraglim, who were also leaders. They were top people, hand-picked by Moshe to go to Eretz Yisrael to scope out the land, hopefully to come back and say, yeah, it's great, let's go. They don't. These are leaders among in their own rights, and they also join forces with the other people mentioned in Pasuk Aleph. Now, what is their, why? What's their motives? Why are they Levi'im? They're not, right? Korach is a Levi. And we're told, we know that there's people that go along with Korach. So there's B'nai Levi going on here. There's also, as we saw in Pasuk Aleph, who are Datan Aviram, B'nai Reuven. There's people from the Shiv. And now we have these 250 other people not assigned to any particular Shevet, me B'nai Yisrael. So we have three factions coming together. How united are they? We'll see in the text, not so much. They're all coming with their own reasons. And not only really united in against Moshe, against Aaron, you know, but all looking out for themselves for different things. And what do they say in Pasuk Gimel? Vayikalu al Moshe v'al Aharon. Here comes Aaron into the picture, that they have something against Aaron. Vayomru elehem, they say, Rav lachem, you've taken on too much. You have too much. Kol ha'idah kulam kedoshim, uvitocham Hashem, umadua tinasu al kal Hashem. Right? Back in Sefer Vayikra, Parshat Kedoshim, Hashem says to everybody, Kedoshim tihiyu. We are an Am Kadosh. Hashem wants all of us to be Kadosh. So what makes you so special, Moshe and Aaron? Right? Madua tinasu al kal Hashem. Why are you greater than the rest of us? Right? Hashem told all of us to be Kadosh, yet you're more Kadosh? It's an interesting claim. Are they completely wrong? No, of course not. We are all Kadosh. We all have Kedusha. Do some people maybe have greater Kedusha because of the work they put into themselves and the things that they do to accomplish that? Probably. So, and the other interesting thing is really We're going to see, what does Korach want? Is he really advocating for social equality where everyone's exactly the same? There's no one better, greater, different?
He wants to be it himself.
So on the one hand, he's saying Kulam Kedoshim. Yeah, we're all equal. But really, that's not what he wants. He really wanted to be Nasi, or maybe he even wanted to be Kohen Gadol. So it's interesting. He's kind of talking out of both. You know, maybe he's trying to appeal to the masses, but really, he's also in it for himself. So it's an interesting thing. Moshe Vayishma Moshe Pasuk Dalet. What is Moshe's response? We've seen it before. Vayipol al panav, which could be a way of saying he davens. You know, he's going down and davening. It also could sort of be it gets to him. He's upset by it. And Rashi says, why would he be so upset? Mipnei hamachloket shekfar ze biyadam sirchon rivi'i. Think about it. How many times, right? Moshe had a tough job. How many complaints, and not say necessarily rebellions, but how many issues has he had to deal with already with Bnei Yisrael? Rashi says this is the fourth. This is the fourth time he sort of had to, you know, deal with Bnei Yisrael complaining about something or doing something wrong. Right? He says, Bersichon Revi'i. What was the first? Look in that Rashi, the first line before the parentheses. The eagle, that was really the first. But and Moshe davens for them. The second, in Sefer Bamidbar, Vayichal Moshe b'mit onanim. You know, it's really interesting because up until a certain point in Sefer Bamidbar, things are going great. Like, Bnei Yisrael are on track to go into Eretz Yisrael 3 days' time. They spent a lot of time in Har Sinai. They've learned the Torah. They've learned the mitzvot. And now they were supposed to really, like, that was supposed to be their entrance into Eretz Yisrael. Everything was supposed to be great, done, right? Live out a life of, I don't know, Torah, mitzvot, great things. Didn't happen that way. They started complaining in Sefer Bamidbar about the man, about the food, about the mitzvot, about lots of different things. Moshe davens for them too. And also, just right before this, in Perek Yedalad, was the Meraglim. So here we go again. You know, think of your Moshe's shoes. Like, oh my gosh, how am I supposed to, I'm going to deal with this again? Here they come again. And, you know, and he's also, I think, at this point, worried, like, is Hashem, like, going to really respond to me again if I daven for them? You know, how much patience? You were really testing the limits here. So Rashi says, "Vayomer Moshe Hashem v'shamu Mitzrayim b'machlakoto shel Korach nirashlu yadav." He was really weakened by this and really felt like overwhelmed by the fact that this not only was this happening, but it was happening again right after the story of the Meraglim. Okay, so how does he respond, Pasuke? Vayidaber el Korach ve'el kol adato. And here's where I sort of want to start unpacking this story. Who is Moshe speaking to in this Pasuk?
Korach.
Who is he not really speaking to? Well, Korach ve'adato. It's not just Korach necessarily, but his followers. Who's he not speaking to, necessarily? Right, the Bnei Reuven and the 250 people. Because look what he says. Boker vayoda Hashem et asher lo v'et hakadosh v'kriv alav v'et asher yivchar bo yakriv alav. He says, let's wait until the morning. Right? Maybe it was the day, but who knows what time of day this was happening, but let's wait until tomorrow. And we're going to see who Hashem really wants, chosen. Who really is kadosh? And here's what he tells him to do. Zot asu, kechulacha machtot, korach v'chol adato. You should take fire pans. Utnu bahen esh, v'simu aleim ktoret lifnei Hashem. You should put in the fire pans ktoret, some kind of incense. Machar, again, it's not going to happen right now, it's going to happen tomorrow. V'haya ha'ish asher yivchar Hashem, hu ha'kadosh. And then we're going to see, whoever sort of incense or offering Hashem accepts, that way we will know that person is who Hashem wants to serve in the position. And he here sort of throws back the words, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, right? They said to Moshe and Aaron, Rav Lachem, so you have too much. And now Moshe says to them, really, B'nei Levi, this is too much. Like, this is too great of an argument to make, challenging my leadership, challenging Aaron's leadership. You can really understand it either that they're taking on too much or that they already have a lot. Remember, Bnei Levi are not just, they in themselves are different from the rest of the Shvatim. They've already been chosen by Hashem to serve in the Mishkan, to have a little bit of a higher status than everybody else. So maybe Moshe is also saying to them, like, you already have a lot. What are you looking for more for? And again, the fact that here we see it says Rav Lechem B'nei Levi, we can understand that he's not pertaining to B'nei Reuven and Datan, but he's really here speaking to B'nei Levi. By the way, this causes some people to say that actually there were two different rebellions going on, but the Torah groups them together. Isn't that interesting? And that actually, this was Rabbi Yitzchak H. Shalom who I heard this for. I think he spoke here at Or Torah a couple years ago. That actually the Korach rebellion and the Levi rebellion is not taking place right now. And his proof is the following. Who else in the Torah brought a Ketoret offering in which it did not end too well? Nadav and Avihu. And he says, who in their right mind, Rabbi H. Shalom says, who in their right mind would agree to bring a Ketoret? This really sounds very similar to the knowing what happened to Nadav and Avihu. He said, no one in the right mind would agree to that. So this must have happened before. And he places the rebellion of Korach and Shevet Levi way, way earlier before Nadav and Avihu ever die. Because he says, it's not possible that anyone in their right mind would agree to bringing a Ketoret unauthorized by Hashem, knowing what happens to Datan and Aviram.
Didn't they die within the second year of leaving
Mitzrayim? Right, they died during Hakamat HaMishkan. It was right by Yom. It was the moment, the pinnacle. The Mishkan had just been constructed and finished, and they were so, you know, again, that whole story is also very complicated and complex, and you can unpack it, and why they did it, you know, but some people say they were like so overjoyed they wanted to bring their own Ketoret, and Hashem didn't want it. So that's his reason for saying that actually Korach, his rebellion happened earlier. Datan and Aviram, as we're going to see, makes more sense for it happening now. But the Torah, because they're thematically connected, ties them all. Now, not everybody says that. Some people believe that Ein Milchamu Mukdar Batorah, that stories can be sort of, you know, even though they're recorded here, it doesn't mean they happened here. Other Mefarshim say no. Like, story happens where it's told. So there's different approaches. Okay, continuing on. We are in Pasuk. Sorry, I left my place. Pasuk. Where are we? Sorry. Pasuk Chet. Oh, okay, so I brought you the Pasukim from Sefer Vayikra, which show you that the Ketoret is what Nadav and Avihu brought. Where you guys ever see where we are in the sources? Okay, I think we're on page 3, maybe? Does that make sense? Okay. So continuing in Sefer Bamidbar, again, that Pasuk Vayor Moshe El Korach, Shim'una B'nei Levi, again, talking to B'nei Levi, says, Hama'at Mikem, Hivdil Elokei Yisrael Etzchem. Hashem has already chosen you from among the rest of B'nei Yisrael, La'avod, L'sharet, right, to serve in the Mishkan, V'yakrev Otcha, that Kol Achacha B'nei Levi Itcha, U'vikashtem Garam Kuna. Now you're not satisfied with that, you're also asking for the Kuhuna. And therefore, lachin atah v'kol atatacha, right? Varon mahu kitalin olav. And therefore, you're all going to come together and offer this Ketoret offering together with Aaron tomorrow. Why do you think, by the way, that Moshe pushes it off till tomorrow? Why not deal with this today? Why let it continue? Why let it fester? Why, you know, maybe more people are going to join? Good. Right, hoping that maybe with time people are not, like, sort of, you know, whoo, take a deep breath, right? Maybe cool it down a little bit. Or maybe they come to their senses a little bit, you know, wait, let's stop and take a second. What are we really doing here? What's it going to accomplish? Is it going to work? And yeah, so I think pushing it off was definitely Moshe's, was hoping for some of those outcomes.
They say the sons of Korach actually did.
Right, and we're going to talk about that as we see what happens. Very thank you for bringing that up. Okay, so now comes Pasuk Yud Bet. Who does Moshe speak to and turn to in Pasuk Yud Bet? Datan and Aviram. So he's spoken his piece to B'nai Levi, and now he's going to turn to the other group of people who have, you know, again, they all have their own motives, but they're all together in this. So he calls Likro Datan and Aviram B'nai Eliav, and they say, Lo Na'ala. They refuse to even speak to Moshe. They say, we're not coming up. Now, why would they say we're not coming up? Any ideas? So But I think where the, in terms of where the, I mean, there could be a couple ideas, but in terms of how the camp was sort of situated, Moshe and the Mishkan were sort of a little elevated from where everybody else was. So perhaps really they had to sort of go up to see Moshe. Or maybe if we look at Pasuk Yud Gimel, they're sort of repeating some of the wordage from the story of the Meraglim. Right, the whole thing with the Meraglim is saying, Lo na'ala, we're not going to go up. Right, Aliyah, we talk about Aliyah going up to Eretz Yisrael. They say, Hama'at ki ha'alitanu me'eretz zavad chalav u'dvash lahamitena b'amibar. Ki tistarer aleinu gam histarer. They say, Moshe, you have brought us, look, pay attention to the words, ha'alitanu me'eretz zavad chalav u'dvash. You have brought us from the land of zavad chalav u'dvash. What land is that?
Mitzrayim.
Right, it kills you. It's like they've completely lost hope. They've completely lost perspective. Complete left sight. Right, to kill us in the midbar. Because again, but also keeping in mind that the story of the Meraglim just happened, and this generation is told you're not going into the land of Israel. It'll be your children's generation that will go in. Right.
Lots of
quail. Right, exactly. Right, and again, I mean, it is a sentiment that the Bnei Yisrael have said before. Like, why did you bring us out from Mitzrayim to kill us in the Midbar? It's not the first time they're saying that. But to use that description, which is so associated with Eretz Yisrael, to describe Eretz Mitzrayim, right, you see where they are in sort of their mindset. By the way, just going back to Pasuk Yud Bet for a moment, compare Pasuk Yud Bet to Pasuk Aleph of Perek Tetzayim. Whose name is not mentioned in Pasuk Yud Bet?
On.
Oh, very good. On Ben Pelet. Right, he's mentioned with Datan Aviram in Pasuk Aleph. He's nowhere to be seen the rest of the story. So, of course, right, Chazal jump all over that. Where'd he go? What happened to him? So, if you look at the source here, Masachet Sanhedrin, they say, the Gemara says, Marav, On Ben Pelet, Ishto Hitzilato. That his Odom had a great wife, right? I always say behind a great man is a great woman, right? That his wife saved him, right? He joined them at first. He was on board, and she goes to him, Amrele, my nafka lachamina, what are you doing? What's in this for you? Imaraba and Tamida, the Imaraba and Tamida. Think about it, Om. If Moshe comes out as victorious, you've really gained nothing. Like, you're still in your position of his, you know, he's here as a Talmid. Like, he's the Rav and you're the Talmid. And if Korach comes out victorious, because again, Korach, like we said, was not in it really just for this socialist, you know, he was in it for himself. You're not going to be the leader. So really, what are you gaining on by joining in this rebellion? And apparently he agrees with her, because he's nowhere to be seen the rest of the parak. So it's really like the power, right? Call a kavod to her for sort of knocking some sense into him. And the Gemara, by the way, says that on the opposite end, Korach's wife was this like real rasha, you know, like she spurred him on and encouraged him in what he was doing, and we know that didn't really end very well for him. Okay. So, and Pasuk Tedvav shows us Moshe's reaction here, Vayichar leMoshe Me'od. Moshe's really upset. And says to Hashem, Al tafena minchatam, don't accept their mincha. You know, like, what have I done? Right? Lo chamor echad mehem nasati. I've never even taken a single chamor. Right? Moshe, the Rashi says, basically, when he came up from Midian, he takes his own chamor to go to Mitzrayim. Like, I've never taken anything from them. Lo hari oti et echad mehem. I've never done bad for any of them. And here they are, of course, complaining against his leadership. What's ironic, of course, is to keep in mind, when Hashem chooses Moshe, Moshe never really wanted this. Right? He tried to get out of it. And Hashem, of course, says, you have to, you're the one, and he does. But it's he's frustrated at this point. Okay. So So we going back to Sefer Bamidbar, we see that Moshe reiterates his idea. Vayomer Moshe al Korach, again he's turning to Korach. You know, take the take the fire pans, put the ketoret in, and the chamishim matay machtot atav around ish machtato. Everyone's going to bring their own fire pan, and we'll see. You know, we'll see pasuk in Chet, like chu ish machtato. They are all going to take it. They're going to put the ish. They're going to put the ketoret, and they're going to stand near the ohel moed. Moshe and Aaron included. Pasuk Kaf Hashem comes into the picture. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron, and he says, basically, Hashem also is very frustrated. He badlu mitoch haida, you know, go away from them. I'm just going to like destroy them all right now. At which point, they, in very Moshe and Aaron esque like, right? They daven and they say, "Don't." Right? Ha'isha chad yachtav al kol haida tiksof, a very famous pasuk. Pasuk Kafet. They realize that this is not the as frustrated as they are, okay? They realize that this is not the entire B'nai Yisrael. It's still a small right? B'nai Yisrael is millions of people. This is still as large and as gathered as they are. They're not everybody. So they say to Hashem, right, just because one person or one group is doing something wrong, it doesn't mean that everyone should suffer, right? Ha'isha chad yachta. And Hashem says, oh, Hashem looks like he agrees with that. So they basically, the focus is around the Mishkan, Korach, Datan, the Aviram. And again, the fact that it's grouped together, were they all really together? Was it, you know, the Torah seems to want to try to connect all of them, even though, again, they have different motives. It might have even taken place at different points in time. And yet, they're grouped together because the Torah realizes this is, you know, they're united in their desire to sort of overthrow Moshe and Aaron. Okay. Now, Pasuk Kavchai. Let's go to Pasuk Kavchai. Vayomer Moshe, bezot teidun. Here's how you will know that Hashem, ki Hashem shlachani lasot tekol ha-masim ha-ele, ki lo milibi. Here's the proof that you're going to know that Hashem has chosen me as your leader. Im kemot kol adam yimutun ela. If they all die in a natural way, Upkudat kol adam yipaked alehem lo Hashem shlachani. So Hashem, Moshe's kind of like hoping Hashem is going to go along with this because he's really invoking like a very, you know, he's asking Hashem to kill them in a supernatural way as proof that Hashem has chosen Moshe as the leader. He said, Pasuk Laman, Ve'im bri'a yivra Hashem. But if Hashem creates something, upatzaha adamat piha, uba'atam, something like the earth opening up and swallowing people, that way you will know that I, you know, that these people, sorry, that these people really have aggravated Hashem. Can, you know, Moshe, you know, as much as Moshe is maybe trying to defend himself, but I don't really think he is. He's never, you don't see Moshe saying, I'm qualified for the job because I'm this, that, and the other thing. He really wants them to know that it's Hashem. It's all coming from Hashem. Hashem is the one who chose him. Hashem is the one who told him to appoint Aaron as the Kohen. Hashem is the one who told him to appoint Elit Safan as the Nasi. And Hashem responds to Moshe. We see Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayhi kechalotu ledaber. When he's done speaking, v'tibaka ha'adama asher tachtehem. The earth does open up and swallow. Pasuk Lamed Bet. V'tivtach ha'aretz et piha. V'tivla otam v'et batehem. Et kol ha'adam asher lekorach v'et kol harachush. Now it's very confusing. Who is being swallowed up? Pasuk Lamed Gemel. Vayirdu heim v'kol asher lehem. Them and everything that was with them. And v'techas aleihem ha'aretz, the earth, you know, covers, it opens and then it closes upon them, and they are lost. Now, who do you think, who in your mind, and look at the pasuk on that, who was swallowed up in by the earth, by this massive, let's say, supernatural earthquake? Korach. So does that mean just B'nai Levi? Does that mean also Datan and Aviram? Does that also, right? Because if you look at Pasuk Lamed Hey, it's not the end. Actually, let's look at Pasuk Lamed Dal. You would think that would be the end of the story. But Pasuk Lamed Dal, V'chol Yisrael, everyone's seeing this, V'nasu Kolam, Ki Amru Pentiv La'imu Ha'arth, this causes mass confusion and chaos. What is the earth going to swallow me up to, right? Everyone sees this and gets very panicked, of course. And then, Pasuk Lamed Hey, V'esh Yatzah Me'etz Hashem. But that's not the end even. Now an Esh comes down, an Esh Hashem, and it eats, V'tochal, consumes 50 ish makrivei haktorat. So we see that there's really two different things going on here, right? There's the earthquake that looks like swallowed Korach and his followers, who they were, but then also an ish comes down and consumes those 250 men who offered the ketoret. Now, like you said, we also know, we're told in Pasuk Kafav of Sefer Bamidbar that interestingly, Ubnei Korach lo metu, says straight out, right? That somehow Ubnei Korach managed to get out of this. That his own sons managed to escape the punishment, managed to escape, to disassociate. Right, exactly, right, 100%. But in Pasuk Kafa, V'tivtacha aretet piyah, V'tivlautam, V'et Korach, V'motayda. So the Torah also says there that Korach was one of the people swallowed up. He wasn't consumed by the fire. V'ochal ha'esh et ha'chamishim ha'matayim ish. But the esh came down to consume those 250 people. So again, it's definitely clear. Thank you. No problem. It's definitely clear that there's two different groups and two different punishments, and that maybe each punishment relates to the crime or to the to what the issue that was going on. Now, it's a very tough parak. It's a very tough story, and obviously a very very extreme not extreme punishment, but they're punished very very. Very harshly. And I sort of want to take a step back and see what can we learn from all of this. So there's a famous Mishnah, Masechet Avot Perek Hei, Mishnah Kaf, which says, Kol machloket shehi l'shem shamayim, sofa l'hit kayim. V'sheina l'shem shamayim, ain sofa l'hit kayim. So the Torah, the Mishnah differentiates between two types of disagreements. One is l'shem shamayim, one is not l'shem shamayim. The Mishnah says the one that is l'shem shamayim will continue to exist. The one that is not will not be mikayim. And it gives an example. Ezo machloket shehi l'shem shamayim. What kind of machloket is considered to be l'shem shamayim? Zo machloket Hillel v'Shamai. Hillel v'Shamai, we all know two very great Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. They all the time disagreed on almost every issue, but that was considered to be l'shem shamayim. V'sheina l'shem shamayim, zo machloket shekorach v'kol adato. The classic example of a machloket not for shem shamayim is korach v'adato. Now, there's an opinion. Well, what is l'shem shamayim? What does that mean, l'shem shamayim? What do you mean by that?
To increase the kedusha and respectfully, find which is the way that God really, interprets what they want.
Excellent. It's not about other. Right. The motives are true and clear, and in the name of Hashem. There's another idea that it's for truth. That any argument that whose goal is to expose the truth is l'shem shamayim. Rabbi, I like to look at Rabbi Zachter Lord, Rabbi Sachs, who's so brilliant, and a lot of his things are online too. He's so brilliant, and has really enlightened me in so many ways when I tried to prepare a shiur. And his idea is that this is all about truth, it has to be about truth for it to continue, for it to be l'shem shamayim. This argument with Korach was more about power. And when you try to, he said there's really never any winners when it comes to a machloket that's for power, because even if I win, he says, let me read it to you. An argument for the sake of heaven is one that is about truth. An argument not for the sake of heaven is about power. The difference is immense. If I argue for the sake of truth, then I win. But if I lose, I also win. Because being defeated by the truth is the only defeat that is also a victory. I am enlarged. I learned something I did not know before. But in the contest for power, if I lose, I lose. But if I win, I also lose. because in diminishing my opponents, I have diminished myself. And it's interesting because if you look at the next parak, again, the story seems like it's over, but it's really not. Bnei Yisrael are totally like overwhelmed and scared by what just happened, and many, many more people die. So did Moshe win? Sort of. I mean, he Korach is gone. He's still the leader. But like so much damage has been done. And more, and also he says that Moshe needed to resort to force was itself a sign that he was diminished in himself. The fact that he couldn't resolve this in a way that like, okay, he's still the leader, but everyone else can still exist, just shows like how bad it got. Right. You're saying the fact that the one might have happened earlier and the next one happened later. Right? It's an ongoing thing. And again, I think what's brilliant about Rabbi Sacks is he points out that also that Judaism is not, we're not a religion of, we ask questions, and that's okay. And if you look at the Gemara, like it's all about, like we said, Hillel and Shammai are arguing all the time, but it has to be for the sake of truth. And if it's not, then it can't be a machloket that can be constructive or have good outcomes. And he also said, if you look, the last thing I want to point out, and again, it's an idea from Rabbi Sacks, is previously in Perek Yud Aleph, Moshe was presented with a similar yet different sort of challenge. We're told in Perek Yud Aleph, Vayisharu shnei anashim b'machaneh. This is after Moshe feels very overwhelmed, and Hashem says, appoint 70 elders, and Hashem gives them nevuah. And we're told two of those people, most of them came to the Ohel Moed to receive their nevuah. Two of them stayed in the machaneh for whatever reason. Shem echad al-dad, and shem hasheni me-dad. And they say, Vayilo yatzu ha-ohla, they don't go to the Ohel Moed, vayitnavu b'machaneh. They get their nevuah there in the machaneh. So along comes a na'ar, a young, you know, some people say it was Moshe's son, other people say otherwise. A young person comes and tells Moshe, Pasuk Kaf Zayin, Vayegei leMoshe, Eldad uMeidad mitnabim b'machaneh. There are these two guys, and they're getting nevuah in the machaneh. Maybe that wasn't so appropriate, they should have been with everybody else, or because of what the nevuah they were saying. Yehoshua, who was with Moshe, comes along and says, Vayomer Adoni Moshe kila'im. Very harsh. Yehoshua says, my master Moshe, Rashi says, throw them in jail. Put them away. What they're doing is wrong. They should be put away. They shouldn't be allowed to get nevuah there. They shouldn't be allowed to say the nevuah that they were saying, which Rashi says was that Moshe was going to die and Yehoshua was going to take over. So Yehoshua has a very harsh reaction. Put them away. But look at Moshe's reaction. Vayomer lo Moshe, hamekaneh tali? What, are you jealous for me? Moshe says, I wish everybody was a Navi. I don't care that they're in there getting Nevuah. It doesn't bother me that they're saying that they're even spreading the Nevuah. He says, I wish everybody had Nevuah. So Rabbi Sacks points out, what's the difference? Like, what an amazing response from Moshe. He doesn't take it as a person, but yet compare it to Korach. So Rabbi Sacks, again, brilliantly says that one has to do with power, Korach's struggle has to do with power, whereas this has to do more with influence. If you think of the role of a king versus the role of a Navi, then the king represents power, there can only be one king. But maybe the Navi is the influence, is the messages they teach. And maybe there could be more, there were multiple Navi'im at a time. And it's the influence, Rabbi Sacks says, if you spread your influence, you're not decreasing what you have. You're just multiplying it to other people. But when I give away my power, well, now I've just diminished what I can't have the same amount of power if I give it away, but I can have the same amount of influence even if I give that away. And he said Moshe had to react so harshly to Korach because it was about power. There couldn't be Moshe and Korach side by side. But there could be Moshe and other Nevi'im side by side, all trying to spread the message of truth and the message of Torah. And I just, again, thank you for coming, and I hope that we can just all sort of engage in the types of discussions that are L'shem Shemayim and really, attain sort of what Hashem wants us to do and spread the Torah, spread the mitzvot. And again, thank you so much for coming. Oh, that's a great question.